Let me give you a little bit of the background of the World Memory Championships. It started in 1991, and ever since then, the numbers have grown. We even have national champions. We have a United States champion, a German, Malaysian, English, Irish, Turkish. And so the best of each country, they all gather each year in London for the World Memory Championships. So if you can imagine, this is the very first examination, if you like. This is one of 10 events on a Thursday morning. We all sit down, all 26 of us, and we're confronted with one number. We've got 1 hour to memorize just one number. Not too difficult, you might think. But this particular number is 3,000 digits long, and it's a randomly generated number. So the idea is that you have to read through the number like a book and memorize as many of the numbers as possible. Now, there are penalties. On the first page, you've got 25 rows of 40 digits. Now, if you make a mistake on the first line, then you lose 20 digits. If you make two or more mistakes, then you lose the whole line. Now, last year, I tried to memorize 1,820. After penalties, I memorized 1,780. The next test, you're given 100 names and faces that you've never seen before, and you've got 15 minutes to memorize them. You've got a 500-word poem to memorize. You've got about 24 decks of playing cards to memorize in sequence. Last year, I did 18 and a half decks. Some of the more quirkier ones you get, you've got half an hour to memorize 3,000 binary digits. So it's the person that can memorize the most information altogether that wins the championships. Now, at this point, you're probably thinking, what a sad man. This guy should get out more often. You probably think that all I do all day long is just sit and stare at loads of numbers and playing cards. Well, I don't. Well, unless I'm in training a couple of weeks before the memory championships. People often say to me, well, look, what is the point in trying to memorize a 2,385-digit binary number? It doesn't get you anywhere, does it? So the answer I normally give is, well, why would 22 fully grown men want to kick a ball from one end of a field to try and get it in a net at the other? Why should a fully grown man or woman want to hit a little white ball from the top of a hill to try and get it in a little tin cup about 300 yards down the other end of the field? I mean, there's no point, is there? I mean, it's hardly crucial to our survival. For instance, imagine last thing at night, you tell your wife, okay, dear, make sure that the cat's out, that the fire alarm's on, and that the ball is, in fact, in the back of the net. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. We don't need to survive that way. So it's not the ball being in the back of the net that's the point, but how it gets there, that's the fascination. That's the skill, the artistry, and there's a whole industry behind it. So it's not the order of a deck of cards in my head that's the point, but how it gets there, not only is that fascinating, but it's an extremely beneficial skill. Just think what you could do with that skill if you had it, and I'm going to teach you. Now, this course comes with a health warning because there are some side effects, but they're all positive. What you'll begin to develop is a laser-sharp concentration. You'll find that as your memory develops, so your confidence gains. Stress levels will come down. You'll get a wider observation. You're going to become more creative, more imaginative, and much, much more. And you know, it only takes a few minutes of practice each day. And you don't have to be a nuclear scientist to be able to do this stuff. A few years ago, when I was writing my first book on memory, I wanted to put a patent out on the techniques and systems that I developed, because I believe they're the most powerful that you can use to develop your memory. And it came as a little bit of a shock to find that actually someone had already got there before I did. In fact, I was 2,000 years out. I discovered that the Greeks had already developed very similar techniques because they were living in an oral culture. They didn't have any paper, although they had a crude form of paper, papyrus. If their culture was to survive, then it had to be passed on by word of mouth. So it required people to have very good memories. Now, if they didn't have a naturally good memory, then they had to use artificial devices. So people of the day would be able to record stories of battles, the politics of the day, and they would be able to talk for hours and hours on end. And they were using a thing called mnemonics. Now, at that time, they had some of the greatest minds the world has ever seen. Now, what's happened since is that we've had the development of paper, we've got the printing press, we now have the world's biggest library, the internet. So there's a glut of knowledge, but we don't need to store this in our heads. So this is my point. I don't want to go back to Greek times. I'm very happy with the amount of knowledge that we've got, my computer, the internet, and everything else. But maybe what we've gained in efficiency perhaps has come at the expense of mental agility. We don't have to work our brains quite so hard. Now, have you noticed over the past two or three decades that there's been a sort of surge of body fitness videos? We see actors and sportsmen and women bringing out their latest fitness video. So we've learned that to stay young, healthy, and happy is a pretty good idea to look after our bodies. Great advice. I could do with losing a couple of pounds myself. And we don't necessarily heed that advice, but at least we know that it's good advice. We have a government promotion that says, well, why don't you go and take half an hour's physical exercise every day, whether it's walking the dog or maybe cycling to work instead of taking the bus, something that leaves our bodies slightly out of breath. Now, I think there should be a government health campaign encouraging us to take half an hour's or even 10 minutes mental exercise every day, something that leaves our brains slightly out of breath. Well, I'm going to be giving you plenty of those sort of exercises in this course. So you could regard this course as a training manual for the brain. So I want you to regard me as your personal memory fitness trainer.